Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
Ingram, my BF, took it to the house and finished it off with a nice little spinorama at the end. It was a thing of beauty.
Your pillow talk that evening must have been spectacular.
Amazing. Oh yeah, I put that one on the spank bank.
Should we retry this?
You can't make Ralph do the ad again.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
The horn, Dave, it gets me every time, I swear to God.
It's the best. Best sound we've ever had. I'm watching NFL Network right now. It said Ziggy Ansah visited with the Seahawks today. Are you
Ziggy
okay?
Ziggy Ansah, that dude, he is making the tour. But before we get to that, I want to tell people about our newest friends at SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite games, concerts, or shows and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know you are getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot means it's a good deal, Dave. A yellow dot means it's so-so. A red dot means it's terrible and you're possibly buying a counterfeit ticket. So use the promo code ACAA at checkout and receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek. SeatGeek, life's and events. They have the tickets. All right.
If the 2019 Saints draft was an event and we were buying tickets for it, what color dot would we give the Saints draft?
I think you got to give the Saints draft a green light. And here's why. The big thing last night after the NFL draft was Game of Thrones, and I know you and Andrew don't watch Game of Thrones, so y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, but I feel like...
Nerd alert.
I feel like the Saints draft was like a dragon on Game of Thrones in that Mickey Loomis is the dragon, and he is just breathing fire and burning assets left and right like a dragon. In Game of Thrones, they just burn White Walkers, they burn humans, they burn animals. They don't give a fuck. They just burn everything. So I think that's why Mickey Loomis [S2] Sure. [S1] Is a dragon, just burning future assets left and right. The interesting thing about the Saints is... they traded up, and it stunned not a person in the world in New Orleans. And, Dave, the thing that was so shocking is the Saints had no picks. And yet, of all the markets in America, the only market that had a higher rating than New Orleans was Nashville, where they had the draft, and it was a giant party, and like 200,000 people went to watch the draft live. But New Orleans, people, they had the second highest share. The Saints didn't even have any picks, but New Orleans people knew to watch because they know Mickey Loomis is trading up.
And it's Jazz Fest weekend.
Yeah.
And we have beautiful weather. I was at Jazz Fest both days. I wasn't paying attention at all. I was just getting the alerts on my phone and saying, oh, okay, that's... So, well, that just shows we are rabid. We are rabid for Saints, anything related to the Saints. And, we've got one guy on this podcast who's had his uncle snail mail him tapes across the Atlantic Ocean every week.
Wait, who is that?
I don't know. I don't think that we had the biggest share, or a big rating or whatever, because we knew the Saints were going to trade up.
They had no picks, though.
Maybe you're right.
I think it plays a not insignificant part in the fact that Saints fans, as a fan base, know that the Saints are going to trade up, so they have to watch. I think if New England didn't have a first-round pick this year, or the Rams or Seattle, teams that are known as manipulating the draft and accumulating assets and trading down, I think it would have been lower because they'd have said, we don't have a first-round pick. They're not going to burn more assets to move up. That's not what they do. But the Saints, Andrew, trading up is not just a football movie. It's a fucking lifestyle at this point. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a community thing. And, you know, it's there's something about the culture that, I mean, on Sundays, the whole town is doing one thing. I don't think you can say that for any other city.
No, I definitely think that's true.
Well, I mean, you know, Salt Lake City, everybody's going to church on Sunday.
Or watching the Jazz. But as for the draft, which the Saints traded up, and if you didn't listen to the podcast on Friday or Saturday, I missed it completely. I left my phone outside. Dave and Andrew and Kevin are texting furiously. I walked up, went to bathe my kid. The Saints had already picked. I walked right through my den, missed it completely, and the Saints traded up to get a center. But Dave, me and Andrew have been doing stuff all weekend. By the way, if you sign up at $7 a month, you can get access to all the stuff we're doing. But Dave, we haven't gotten your thoughts at all. What was your thoughts when you saw that the Saints traded up for a center?
Yeah, well, I'll talk about that, and then I want to make sure that I give you and Andrew a pats on the back after I make my point where I talk about their second round pick. But
this should be good.
I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm actually.
It's not
being
a lie.
Genuine.
If you believe it.
I love the pick. You know, I love Eric McCoy. From everything I read about him, everybody speaks highly of him. The guy ran a 4.89 40. He's obviously very athletic. He only let up one sack in like what, his entire college career.
Yeah. And Texas A&M played Clemson, who had like their entire defensive line got drafted.
Right. And you know, not only that, but somebody on Saints Reddit, you know, there's put together a list of the only linemen or the only centers who have ever run a sub 5 40-yard dash, and like all of them are like all pros, at the least Pro Bowlers, some Hall of Famers. You know, that doesn't necessarily prove anything, but it's good company to be in. So, I mean, I love the pick. Obviously, it showed. You guys talked about what I said about, you know, Max Unger retiring. I think obviously threw the Saints for a loop, and I'm starting to think maybe they weren't expecting it, that to happen. And so, you know, it just sucks because, you know, if Unger is still here, I think the Saints can use their draft pick on somebody else. But it definitely seems like they were drafting for need, and they had a guy.
I liked it, though. You called it like the butterfly effect, right? Like one thing leads to another, another.
Because I'm saying, like, if Unger doesn't retire, then they don't need to sign Nick Easton, maybe. Or at the very least, they don't need to trade up and draft this center guy, because obviously they think center is important, and I get why they think center is important. I mean, the Saints have always placed a high value on the interior offensive line with Carl Nix and you know, Larry Warford, and they've always made, you know, a lot of their big free agent signings have always been, you know, guards like that or interior guys or centers, because, you know, I'm not saying Drew is short, but he's certainly not the tallest guy, and he needs help when he wants to see over the middle, and obviously he's getting older, and I think the Saints know that if they want to maximize Drew Brees, his potential and later in his career here, I think the number one thing to do is make sure he's protected and on his feet so he can do what he does best, because you certainly don't want to see him, you know, have to rush, have to scramble, get injured, even worse. So again, I like the pick. You know, obviously there is
where's the compliment?
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Hold on. It's the build up.
You're really making me sweat this out.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, obviously they had to trade up to get this guy if he was the guy he wanted. He had already fallen pretty far. You know, Andrew, I heard you did your money ball, you know, spreadsheet thing there.
Spreadsheet that he didn't mention until the draft had started. Like, that had been something you could have mentioned to us, you know, like the last month, Andrew. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see them take two safeties, although, again.
Wait, did you just say we?
Yeah.
Speak for yourself, bro.
Although Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, again, I think is...
Did you not hear our amazing evals of all these draftees. Yeah, I toured the country getting NFC scouts to speak to me.
We had a couple guys, man. David Sills, he didn't even make it. He didn't even get picked. He didn't get drafted.
That's right. We did research on guys that weren't getting picked, Dave.
Wow. What? Wait a minute. Why did you do a whole profile on a guy that wound up not getting picked? Is he that terrible, or did something major happen? Was he caught?
He was rated as like.
I think it was kind of a big surprise. I think it was a big surprise he didn't get drafted.
He was like a third. He was rated anywhere from. I saw him in the anywhere from like 120 to 180 as rated. I don't know, man. And the Saints like sent a bunch of people to West Virginia, but I guess they were just looking at the quarterback. I don't know. Like, I was surprised. I thought Foster Moreau for LSU was going to be one of those guys that people thought was going to get picked and then would slide into the 5th, 6th, 7th round, and the Saints would be able to get him. But nah, John Gruden went up and got him.
By the way, I didn't know till today that Foster Moreau went to the same school that my son goes to.
Oh,
like grade school.
So he's probably soft then, because he's super upper, he's super duper middle class. He's lived a pampered lifestyle.
He went to Jesuit.
That's right.
Is that where you're gonna send your kid, Dave?
He's gonna go wherever he wants to go, but it's more than likely that that's where he's gonna want to go. Yes.
My whole family went to Jesuit, pretty much.
Well, then I'm going to have to get him to change his mind then.
Yep.
I went to Brother Mark.
There's the Dave I know.
There you go.
Yeah, I was worried for a second there.
The one that interests me is the undrafted free agent, you know, for two reasons. One, because people keep talking about him. You know, he's a wide receiver, Lil Jordan Humphrey. And that's not my name for him. That's not just the cute little nickname I came up with for him. That's his name. His name's Lil Jordan Humphrey. And after the Saints signed him, everybody was talking about how, oh, he's a steal. He was awesome in college. He's perfect for the Saints. So I think out of all the undrafted free agents, he's the one that's got everybody most excited. But we got to talk.
You've just guaranteed that he will be total garbage.
Well, if he's total garbage, we get to do the crying Jordan meme. So it's win-win all around.
In training camp, there's a guy that everyone's obsessed with out of the undrafted rookie class. Guy that ends up making the team is like JT Gray and Taylor Stallworth, like the two guys that no one talks about.
And this is another reason why people, you need to donate and you need to subscribe and become a member, support us, $7 a month, you get a daily Saints podcast. This is another reason to become a patron, is if we can raise enough money, we could hire an intern. And one of the things that I would want the intern to do is I'd have them build an Excel spreadsheet and track all the players going forward that Saints Twitter and media people gush over in training camp and swear up and down that they'll never, ever possibly clear waivers if the Saints cut them. Who was the white linebacker from Canada last year that they cut?
Eric Harris?
Hill. No, Big Hill.
Adam Big Hill. Like, I got into, like Twitter screaming matches, like 3 and 4 people. I'm like, I think they can cut the shorts.
Saints fans were ready to start him over DeMario Davis.
Yeah. Like, I think they can cut the slow, small, white linebacker and be okay and get him through waivers.
This isn't even tongue-in-cheek. Like, this isn't even a joke. Saints fans wanted to cut A.J. Klein and keep Adam Big Hill.
It's true.
That was an actual thing.
It was.
We're getting off topic here. We're supposed to be talking about Lil Jordan Humphrey.
I'm buy some stock in Lil Jordan.
We talked about it. You just cursed him.
I'm gonna talk to him a little Jordan Humphrey. He's gonna have a fantastic mini camp and be a guy. Like, yeah. Katzenstein or who's another beat writer for because Nick's gone. I can't think of. There'll be one or two beat writers that'll do glowing features on him. And he will be the hot name going into July. of the UDFAs. That is my prediction. If I could buy stock in him, I would.
Are we doing this bracket?
Oh, yeah. Today?
No, not tonight. We're not doing that. It's 9:48.
Well, we can knock out a couple.
We'll do the bracket. We'll do half of the second round. Half of the second round.
That's only four matchups. We can do that quick.
Yeah.
Let's do this Lil Sean Payton bracket.
Lil Sean.
All right. So round two.
Humphrey's dad.
The number one seed Greenbrier. Versus the 16 seed, the Hauser Pyramid Scheme. Should I play both of those previews things, or should we just continue on? We'll just continue on. I mean, this one's hard, because I feel like the Greenbrier was cursed and was clearly made the Saints soft and was clearly a main contributor to the 7-9 sadness loop, Dave. But if you're going on bad decisions for Sean Payton, The Hauser movie tax pyramid scheme cost him $145,000. So, I mean, money's money, man. I'm going Hauser pyramid scheme here. So, who you got, Dave?
Me. Well, yeah. This is technically about Sean Payton and his decisions, and how they affected him in his life. So obviously the Saints went 7-9 three seasons after they went to West Virginia, but Sean Payton, one, still has a job. He's dating Miss West Virginia. And he's still out that $140,000 that Kevin Hauser screwed him out of. So I'm going to say, I'm going to go with you, Ralph. I'm going to say the pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Well, I talked about, all my reasons why I love the Greenbrier. I still think blaming the Greenbrier for the Saints. You know what killed the Saints? It was drafting Jarris Bird. Signing Jarris Bird. And it was drafting guys like Stanley Jean-Baptiste. And it was, you know, terrible play on the field and kickers missing kicks. I mean, it wasn't – the Greenbrier had nothing to do with that stuff.
I don't know, man.
Poor roster construction, et cetera.
The wallpaper could have led to decision-making.
I think the wallpaper and the mild climate, man, it made them soft. If they'd have been training in the South Louisiana Heat in 2014, they'd have gone 8-8 and won the South. I believe it in my heart.
Well, I'm looking at pictures right now, mugshots of Wayne Reed, who is Kevin Hauser's buddy. And I'm looking at a picture of Kevin Hauser also. These are headshots. And I look at these two dudes' faces and how you could ever think it's a good idea to give these both of these idiots hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, it's a clean sweep. I wish we had that technological capability of letting people see these guys' faces right now. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're at a computer, you should Google right now. You should Google Kevin Hauser and look at his face and look at this guy, Kevin Reed, R-E-A-D. Look at his face and you tell me, or sorry, it's Wayne Reed, Wayne R-E-A-D. Look at his face and you tell me, would you give that guy $100,000? I'm saying hell no.
It's like the end of I was watching the end of Step Brothers. I just want to punch you in the face.
Yeah,
it's just something about your face that just makes me want to punch you right in your mouth hole.
Your mouth hole. They should have just taken that $145,000 and set it on fire.
Well, that's a huge upset. We need the air horn.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or we could do this sound of breaking news. We have an upset. The Greenbrier is lost. Details at 11. All right. So another second round match update. Dave, I'll let you kick this one off because this has your boy in it. Number 8 seed Ducks in a Row email versus number 9 Nick Fairley contract extension.
Shit, this one's tough.
it is, man.
I mean, you know, obviously I've got a vested interest in Nick Fairley continuing on in this tournament. Man, but the whole ducks in a row thing, you know, I said in the first round, it's not really fair that Peyton, you know, that Roger Goodell's bias and stupidity, shit, who do I go with this? I'm going to go with, this is really tough. I'm going with the, I don't know. And is the Nick Fairley? That might have been a Mickey Loomis decision too. I'm gonna go with Fairley. I think Fairley was the worst decision.
I can't believe you even thought about that for a second.
No. I have to give this bracket the time, attention, and respect it deserves.
I thought you were gonna give Nick Fairley. I mean, I thought you were gonna vote him straight through to the championship.
No. I'm an honest man. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be biased just because.
All right. So first of all, someone in the chat is saying, I love how tired you all sound. Well, my in-laws are in town, so I have to be quiet. I can't be waking people up.
My in-laws?
Yeah. So that's my excuse. It's not actual fatigue. But let's see. Fairley extension. I mean, ducks in a row email. I don't know. I'm going to wait. I'm going to let Ralph pick first, actually.
I'm gonna go the Fairley extension just because I know Ducks in a Row was bad, and that's part of why Sean Payton got destroyed in Bounty Gate and Headset out of here. But the next matchup is really the main reason. That Fairley extension, you know, it worked out okay because they were great in 2017 and it was fine, but man. I remember when that news hit and we were like, oh my God, the doctors fucked it up again. Like, how did this happen that they just gave Nick Fairley $30+ million and it's voided and it's over? And oh, by the way, Teron Armstead is out for a lot of the year and Unger might not be ready for the beginning. I remember it was like the turd cherry on top of a horrible summer, and man, it was just I gotta go Nick Fairley.
Cool. Well, I can't allow a clean sweep here, so I'll go ducks in a row.
All right, so the next matchup is number 4, Brandon Browner. Number 13, allowing Cirillo in the building. One of you needs to go for a long time. I'm going through the Joe Vitt quotes on Cirillo, and I've got to find the money one. So one of you vote, but filibuster for like 45 seconds while I look for the quote.
All right, Dave, you go. I'm looking up Brandon Browner's stats right now.
Oh, this is ridiculous. So I got to make a decision. I don't even get the benefit of any of your research or data.
All right, hold on. Let me just read you this article I just pulled up. All right. All right. This is an article on CBS Sports from Sean Wagner McGo. I don't know. He said the Saints defense isn't in need of a single statistic to sum up its historically awful season, but there's more than a few readily available. Neither does Brandon Browner, the team's starting cornerback and captain, who is the center of the Saints' struggles both on and off the field. But Monday night, Matthew Stafford burned the Saints' defense for 3 touchdowns. Browner made history, the kind of history that perfectly represents his first season in New Orleans. On Monday night, Browner broke the NFL's single-season penalty record. According to the Times-Picayune, Browner has now been flagged 24 times this season. 21 were accepted. That breaks an NFL record. I just want to point out that Browner was so bad that he was flagged 3 times, and teams declined his penalty because he couldn't even stop the play.
Right.
Yeah. So that's worth noting. But that breaks an NFL record, which was set by Chester Pitts of the Texans in 2003. When he was flagged 22 times. It's worth noting, however, that the NFL only began tracking individual penalties in 1999. So 11 of these were defensive holding. He had 3 pass interference, 3 face masks, 3 unnecessary roughness, 1 offsides, 1 illegal contact, 1 illegal block above the waist, and 1 illegal use of hands.
It blows my mind that they didn't start keeping track of individual penalties until 1999. I mean,
all right.
we were in high school in the 90s. That meant that when we were in high school, we couldn't even, right. like, we had all no right. factual evidence to decide how many people
all had right. granted, penalties. Granted, what Andrew just said about Brandon Browner sounds terrible. But I want to read, I want to take you people back to 2012 when the Bounty Gate stuff was going on and the national treasure that was Joe Vitt as the Saints interim coach was getting deposed by Mary Jo White. And this is what he said about Mike Cirillo. Mike Cirillo is a liar, okay? A liar. If I took Mike Cirillo, who was sitting right here right now, and commissioner asked him to get up on the board and diagram 11 offensive players and 11 defensive players, number one, he couldn't do that. He couldn't draw up a pro offense, a slot set. He couldn't give me a pro set. He couldn't give me a split near backs. Doug Marrone is a Syracuse grad. Now he's head coach at Syracuse. He kind of stuck up for Cirillo a little bit. He was going to try to show him the way. As soon as Doug Marrone left, we begged Doug to take the guy with him back to Syracuse and give him position. Doug said no, he's staying right here. So the offense has had enough of Cirillo. That's one of the quotes.
Isn't there a quote where he just goes like, no, he's a fucking idiot?
First, we had to take a trip as a staff out to Vegas to see some Las Vegas shows with our wives. Here comes Cirillo, pulls up in 2 limos, and 2 girls get out of each limo. He just declared bankruptcy, but he can go buy, get 2 limos. I'm going to be reminded of a couple of minutes how dumb I am. The red light going off. A week after the season ends, it's Friday night. I'm saying not more than a week after the Super Bowl, Sean calls me. He said Mike Cirillo's fiance was just in a terrible car accident down in Oklahoma. The truck overturned. The child got thrown from the car. He was drowned in a pond. Sean has gotten emotional. Listen, I said, Sean, that never happens. That never happened. Peyton gets pissed off. How could you say such a thing? It never happened. Just relax. Give me 20 minutes. Cirillo is a liar. I call Cirillo back immediately. Mike, this is Coach Vitt. I'm sorry to hear what happened. Well, listen, here's what we know what to do right now. I talked to Mr. Benson. His plane is in the air, fueled up to get you to come get you in Norman, Oklahoma. No, wait, Coach, wait. No, wait. I've got more details. Mike, we just got the details that your fiance was in a fatal car accident. No, just wait. Well, Mike, does your fiance have a sister? This goes on for 10 minutes. I hang up. Listen, Mike, before I hang up, you better call Coach Peyton and explain to him that you're a liar. Bada bing, bada boom, bada bat, bada boom. Sean calls back and he says, well, you're right. He's a liar. This is the fourth. I mean, I could go on and on. This Cirillo thing, it goes on and on and on. But when you say bada bing, bada boom, bada bat, and you're talking about a guy, like, I just feel like Cirillo, he's got to go through. He's got to, like, I know Brandon Browner was awful, but I vote Cirillo.
Dave?
Hey.
Who are you going with? Browner was so bad, though. My God, he was so bad.
But Cirillo was like drinking cancer.
Are they both locked up?
No.
Or just Browner?
No, Cirillo's working for the NFL, I think.
You know, after much considerate... By the way, when did Vitt say all that stuff?
2012.
But, like, to who? Like, in what context?
That was...
That was the grand jury or the judge or whatever, right? That was his deposition.
That was... Yeah. That was his... Let me see, because that thing, this is like the...
Whatever. Anyway, I mean, Browner was a...
Paul Tagliabue bounty hearing. It was when Paul Tagliabue was the arbiter for the players.
No, that might have been the testimony that that got everybody's suspensions reduced.
Here's a question before you answer. Does it make Browner's case better or worse that he tried to fight Lyons Yellen in the locker room?
Better to get picked or better not to get picked for this?
That's the question.
Or as I like to call him, Lyons McKelvin.
Lyons McKelvin.
I like to merge him with the old Buffalo Bills returner for some reason. It escapes me.
Anyway, Browner was a disaster, but he was only a disaster for a year, and the Saints were smart enough to get rid of his ass. And now he's locked up in prison, and you know he may never see the light of day ever again.
Chris Endo makes a good point. Did Cirullo ever try to murder someone?
No, he didn't. He did.
I don't know, man. That play. What was that play where the Washington running back on a screen and Browner blew up some Saints player on the field? You know what I'm talking about, Andrew?
I remember that.
Yeah, right. The friendly fire. Yeah.
Yeah, friendly fire. But Cirullo never did that.
Yeah. I'm going with Cirullo, though. I mean, he obviously single-handedly fucked the Saints over for multiple years. Their, you know, Super Bowl run. So
I'm going Brandon Browner because I think the Saints have just been flagged again just because we're talking about Browner.
Man, to show you how dumb Twitter can be, when we were building this bracket, I got into an argument with people on Twitter, and there was 3, 4, 5 people that were arguing with me that Brandon Browner wasn't a bust because his cap hit wasn't that big and yada, yada, yada. I was like,
yeah, we should have let him win the championship just as a F you to those people.
We should have. All right. So our last matchup.
But Cirullo goes through 2-1.
Man, this is the last matchup for tonight. The five.
I hate when Ralph says Cirullo because I just assume that he's trying to say my name and he's just saying it wrong, and so I get really confused.
So I'm like trying to say Cariello, but I'm having a seizure.
No, I just think you're being Ralph and you're trying to say Cariello, and you just fuck it up and you just say Cirullo instead.
I need to put that on a shirt. I just think you're being Ralph. We should do that as a tier for the podcast. You can get that. I just think you're being Ralph t-shirt. It could be like the $75 gold level.
Yeah, I could sell that to my mom and your mom.
My mom. Maybe my dad. My dad is a... I don't know if you heard this, Dave, but my dad is now a $7 a month donator guy.
I did not. I've got a couple of friends here that I've turned into... regular listeners, and I think one of them is now a patron also. So
yes.
So I get a lot of every time I run into them, you know, I get a lot of feedback.
Do it, people! And here's the thing: you get a podcast every day, but
Ralph gets a lot of feedback every time he speaks into his microphone. Right. Apparently.
But
also, Ralph, in the chat, just so you know, we're talking about how you need to have a dial-up sound effect so you can use that when the audio is bad.
I need the like when we have technical problems, I need that like 1970s music that they play like when they would put the color bars up on the screen, you know, the like technical difficulty music. But no, what I was gonna say is, if you do the podcast every day, if you pay $7, you get you get the podcast every day. But also, too, is patrons. I'm going to put up a poll soon. We reached one of the milestones of if we got to $600 a month of support for patrons, that we would do a fantasy show. One of the daily shows we do would be a fantasy show. But I'm not sure if our listeners, would they prefer a fantasy-based 15-minute show, Andrew, or a gambling one, or both?
Probably so, gambling.
So
or,
I'm gonna
or a beer podcast.
That could do. So I'll put a. We'll be doing a poll for that. We have a little time because that's obviously only during the football season.
I taste all different kinds of beers.
I like that we could have a we could, hey man, the way that people love these brackets, we could do a beer bracket in the middle of June when we're trying to kill time before camp starts. Don't put it past
finally a bracket where I'm just going to talk and you guys will just only offer mild insight.
So here's the last matchup tonight. Junior Gallette extension, the 5 seed, versus 12, cut Mike Carney on his wedding day. Andrew, who you got?
What was the first one?
Junior Gallette extension.
See,
we're still paying Gallette.
Yeah, cut the check, Mickey.
It's like Bobby Bonilla in the Mets.
You know, the Junior Gallette extension gave us the belt thing. It gave us Dave's detective work. It gave us.
I mean, Dave, that was the. Was that? Mickey. Do you think that was the peak of your time at Canal Street Chronicles? Like the collage of Junior Gallette and the belt. Like,
it was one of the highlights. You know, I have a few highlights, but that was definitely one of them.
Also, I feel like the experience of the bad karma that ensued for Junior Gallette in the wake of getting cut was almost worth him getting the extension. I mean, he's kind of been through career hell since he got cut by the Saints. So, karma got back to him. I mean, I don't know. I just think cutting Carney on his wedding day. So one of them is just business. The other one is terrible business, right? So if you're evaluating, it's just it, under sheer like dollars and cents or how it affected the business, the brand, like the Junior Gallette extension is way worse.
If you're judging this
based on like personal, like, I mean, Junior Gallette was, it was the right move to extend him because he was a 12 sack guy and he was, I mean, I don't think anyone was furious when he got the extension at first. No one knew he was going to go crazy, but cutting Carney on his wedding day is just, it's just such a dick move.
It is. The thing is, that guy's
like, they should have cut Junior Gallette on his wedding day, not Carney.
The thing was when Pittsburgh traded Antonio Brown, they put up a graphic on ESPN, and I think Junior Gallette was the biggest hit ever for dead money at one time until the Steelers traded Antonio Brown. Because Junior, when the Saints had to cut Junior, it was like 18 point something of dead money that hit the cap immediately.
I'm going Carney because once the Saints cut Gallette, the wealth of jokes that he gave us between the belt, the injuries, the drunk rant, cut the check, Mickey, the assault thing where he threw some woman out of his house. And then lest we not forget, there was another thing I was about to bring up. There was Dave,
the Cat Terrell Nobel the Nobel Prize investigation piece by Cat Terrell that was just glorious about him fighting people in the locker room.
Oh, no. I know what it was. I was going to say it was the burner account. It was the burner Twitter account where he started to air the dirty laundry of all the Saints players one by one. I mean, that was almost worth it for me. So I'm I love Mike Carney. I'm still pissed at Sean Payton about that.
I mean, if Junior Gallette, if he wins this tournament, you think if I invited him on, he'd come on the show?
Yes.
No. Not if you told him who I was.
You guys have seen Happy Gilmore, right? Where the guy, like, Happy Gilmore calls the killer guy, and then he's like, "I'm really sorry about what I did to you," and then he crosses his name off the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Steve Buscemi.
Dave is definitely on Junior Gallette's list.
It's got to be Gallette here. I know cutting a guy on his wedding day is bad, but I mean, the junior Gallette was like a nuclear bomb on the cap. Not to mention the jokes and stuff were great, but it was literally like just destroyed their cap in a way that like Loomis even like had trouble digging out of it and making Loomis math work.
Yeah, I'm voting for Gallette, and it's for that exact reason, Ralph. He took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, who knows what the Saints could have done, during those years if they had a bunch of that money freed up.
Yeah.
So, of the four we picked today, Gallet is the only non-upset.
Yeah.
So Cerullo, Pyramid Scheme, and Nick Fairley are all upsets.
Yeah, it's a strong. I mean, second round games is Hauser Pyramid Scheme, Nick Fairley's extension, Cerullo allowing Cerullo in the building, Junior Gallet extension. That's strong. It's a strong Elite Eight. We'll get to the other four next week. Andrew, do we have questions in the chat room before we get on out of here?
No, just a lot of hilarious comments.
People love this bracket. You know, I forgot to give credit to someone, but they went through the bracket and they were like, and they asked me, do you think not having Rob Ninkovich in the bracket is an oversight? And I have to say, yeah, Andrew, that cutting Rob Ninkovich, that should have been in the 32, don't you think?
The one that got away.
I mean, I think.
I don't know. Would he have been as good with Joe Vitt teaching him for his entire career?
Ooh, roasted. Roasted. I mean, should it really be letting Vitt teach linebackers? Shouldn't that be?
I forgot about that. I was going to bring that up. I was talking to people, and we were trying to figure out, you know, because the Saints, you know, they drafted Caden Ellis from Idaho, another linebacker, late pick, so it doesn't really, you know, not like he'll be, if he flops, it's not a bust. But we were trying to figure out the last time the Saints picked a really good linebacker, and we had to go all the way back to Winford Tubbs in the mid-fucking 90s. I mean, Anzalone, I wouldn't qualify him as good yet.
I'm sorry, who? Who did you just say?
I think I said this guy. Anzalone. But, I mean, Andrew, I can make a case that Anzalone's the best Saints linebacker picked since the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
I mean, they've had, like, three different scouting staffs, two different...
Colby Bockwalt wants the word.
Oh, my God. James Allen had that touchdown against Tampa that one time.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, on the fake punt pass that was thrown right to him?
Yeah. Well, it was a botched punt.
Botched snap.
Yeah. Good times. We could just spin.
We got some Twitter questions.
We could just spin the wheel and pick a terrible linebacker. Go with the Twitter questions so we can get out of here.
All right. Tom Stewart wants to know who gets cut from the draft picks. The dude from Rutgers, the safety, he is donezo.
Dave, you.
I don't even know his name.
Caleb, Saquon Hampton.
Yeah, he's donezo.
I don't know. So
there's only room in this league for once good Saquon,
and it ain't the guy from Rutgers.
No.
All right, before we get out of here, I want to tell everybody about my bookie. Between their live in-game betting, endless props.
I think you mean Little My Bookie.
Little My Bookie, yeah. Between endless props and fantasy sports wager, there's something for everyone with the best player perks in the sports book business. They've been good to us, and I know they'll be good to you. They're hooking our listeners up all month. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim a 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you get an extra 50 in play. That's MYBOOKIE.AG, promo code HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid. Terms and conditions apply. Andrew, continue with the questions.
Yeah, on the linebacker topic, Crowded Animal said Kyrie Fort was great at falling asleep during team meetings. You know, I think he probably dipped in Sean Payton's Vicodin stash thinking it was no dose. I bet that's what happened. Fred Zilla wants to know what UDFA will we be lusting after come training camp? I mean, we kind of touched on this, but I think right now the the odds-on favorite. It's the two running backs. People really like the dude from Nebraska.
No, Lil Jordan. Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah, well, except for Dave, yeah. But and then there's the Kennesaw running back. I forget his name, too, but he's the little dude from Kennesaw who has, like, ungodly stats, like 10 yards
yeah.
of carry.
I mean, the thing about preseason running backs is all it takes is one 20-yard run in the last 5 minutes of a game in week one, and we're all over it. You know? Didn't Lawrence Taylor also fall asleep in team meetings? Yeah, he did. And Bill Parcells let him sleep and probably put a pillow by his head because he could do whatever he want because he was LT.
Yeah. Kyrie Fort's got a long way to go before he's allowed to sleep in meetings. like actually getting on the field during a regular season game. Let's start with that first.
So my brother-in-law is listening, and he just texted me.
My brother-in-law.
He's listening, and he said we didn't set up ducks in a row enough. He doesn't understand or know what that is.
Oh, well, we set it up in the first round. Yeah. We're not very friendly to first-time listeners.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ducks in a row, basically, if you're new to this podcast, it's basically it was an email that Sean Payton had sent to someone in the Saints organization when they knew the NFL was investigating them, and he said, get all the ducks in a row, and Roger Goodell pointed to that email as saying that was Sean Payton lying and trying to cover up Bountygate, telling everybody to get their ducks in a row, which I don't think that's very nefarious at all. People at my work say that all the time. I think of it as horrible because of Bountygate, but 99 of 100 people, if you said, get your ducks in a row, I don't think they would find that nefarious at all.
Yeah.
And I like saying the word nefarious. It makes me sound fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Multiple times tonight.
So, Crescendo wants to know, what's the percentage of Taysom Hill special plays this year?
I mean, I think it's probably
10%. 10%.
I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go 20 because
what?
I think the what? Saints, I think the Saints are going to be struggling more this year. They're not going to be a 13-win team. They're going to be like a 9-10 win team. And I think Sean Payton's going to have to go to the well to win games. Whereas last year, he sort of hid Taysom Hill after a certain point and they didn't use him as much and they sort of saved a little bit of it, you know. So I think they're going to use him more because they're going to need to. They're going to need him more.
So 20% of all the plays the Saints run on offense this year are going to be Taysom Hill trick plays.
Yes,
I'm here for that.
One out of every five plays that the Saints run is going to be a Taysom Hill trick play.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm going with it.
So this Kennesaw running back is popular. We've got one guy asking if he's the next Pierre. And then a crowded animal says that he's the next Travers Cadet. So that seems to be it. Popular. Jed Pendergrass thinks he's asking, will this be the next Pierre? And crowded animal said he'd be the next Travers Cadet. So we've got some differing opinions.
Yeah.
On that guy.
He could be somewhere in the somewhere
Darnell
in the,
Holland.
Somewhere in the middle. But
he's got a 4.38 40.
Yeah, he averaged 10 yards a carry in college. Like, you should look at his stats. They're insane.
He averaged almost 12 yards last season.
Wait, here's
80 carries.
Dave, yeah. this would make you really excited. I did not catch this. Is this accurate? The Mecca Fredzilla said, with the Pelicans stealing the Suns' fabled head trainer, how soon before the Saints are asking if they can borrow him? Is that accurate? Did they steal the
Suns? Yes. Yes, that
Dude,
happened today.
I cannot stress enough.
It's another step for Anthony Davis staying in New Orleans.
Seriously, Phoenix, their training staff is literally the gold standard of the NBA. They got.
How do you know this? How do you know this?
Who's the point guard? The little white point guard that won all the MVPs.
Nash
at Dallas, his back was kind of a mess. He went to Phoenix, won three straight MVPs. Phoenix, Grant Hill, wrecked his foot in Orlando, was never the same. He went to Phoenix. Phoenix fixed him, and he became like a really good NBA player that could play 20, 25 minutes at a time. They got Shaq's feet fixed at the end of his career. Like, Phoenix's head trainer is like a magician with people. Like, I am not...
I need to see this guy.
I am not kidding. That is a gargantuan move for the Pelicans, and they probably spent a ton of money to do that. That is...
Ralph, do you think this guy could give you a second good hand?
Maybe. He could, like, lay hands on me, a little bit of oil, that little thing that that you told me to buy that, like, you press and it, like, loosens up your muscles.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, the Theragun?
The Theragun, yeah. Seriously, no, I mean, Zilla, that's a huge move for the Pelicans, and the Saints will probably steal him. So Endo says, good stuff. You guys are great. Of course we are. We love all of you people. So let's wrap this up because I've got to edit 3 different audio files of the crash and nonsense that we had with this show today. Thanks to everybody in the chat room, seriously, for sticking with us with our little technical issues. We hope you enjoyed the show. We enjoyed the live stream. It's fun. It gets a little dicey, but it was good tonight. We only had the one little issue. Thanks for sticking with us. So, for Dave, for Andrew, and Kevin, who was watching the Avengers movie, until next week, the bar is closed.